Maybe you can turn to that page. It's a long reading. Please try to follow along because it's a little travel. So last week we did a song of praise. This week is a journey of some grumbling and praises also. So verse 22, then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That is, in parentheses, that is why the place is called Marah. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, what are we to drink? Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made a decree and a law for them, and there he tested them. He said, if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near the water. The whole Israelite community set out from the Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, and on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into the desert to starve this entire assembly to death. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gathered on the other days. So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, in that evening, you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning, you will see the glory of the Lord because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us? Moses also said, you will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord. Then Moses told Aaron, say to the entire Israelite community, come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling. While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. That evening quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, then thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, what is this? For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, it is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Each one is to gather as much as he needs. Take an omer, or 2 liters, for each person you have in your tent. The Israelites did as they were told, some gathering much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little. Each one gathered as much as he needed. Then Moses said to them, no one is to keep any of it until morning. However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. Each morning, everyone gathered as much as he needed, and when the sun grew hot, it melted away. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much 2 omers for each person, and the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. He said to them, this is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil. Save whatever is left and keep it until morning. So they saved it until morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink or get maggots in it. Eat it today, Moses said, because today is a Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground today. 6 days you are to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any. Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord had given you the Sabbath. That is why on the sixth day he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to say where he is on the seventh day. No one is to go out. So the people rested on the seventh day. The people of Israel called the bread manna. It was white like coriander seed and tasted like wafers made with honey. Moses said, this is what the Lord has commanded. Take an omer of manna and keep it for the generations to come so they can see the bread I gave you to eat in the desert when I brought you out of Egypt. So Moses said to Aaron, take a jar, put an omer of manna in it, then place it before the Lord to keep for the generations to come. As the Lord commanded, Moses put the manna in front of the testimony that he might be kept. The Israelites ate manna 40 years until they came to the land that was settled. They ate manna until they reached the border of Canaan. Parenthesis, and Omer is at one-tenth of an ephah. For chapter 17. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, give us water to drink. Moses replied, why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test? But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses, and they said, why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst? Then Moses cried out to the Lord, what am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me. The Lord answered, Moses, walk on ahead of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out of it for the people to drink. So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the place Massah and Meribah because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Thanks be to God.
Why is it so easy for children to trust? Why is it so easy? Why can you just take a child and hand them to someone and they'll just come? Hagop Bafarian was telling me about Gomidas starting a little pre-nursery, and they walked into the classroom and he just immediately, Gomidas just grabbed the teacher and just walked away. Hagop was not even worth saying goodbye to. He just cared. Kids seem to be so trusting. Now, there was a child when we were in Boston. This one wasn't even more than a year, less than a year old. You could watch her. And most people, you could just take her to, and she would just be, you know, welcome. But as we watched her, we realized, you know what? I should ask the mom if I could take this little girl with me everywhere I go. Because it turned out the people she wouldn't go to were the ones you'd actually want to stay away from. People who weren't safe, people who weren't the ones you wanted to spend time with. But most kids will just go wherever you ask them. They're so trusting. Have you noticed that? Until, I don't know if it's first grade, second grade, third grade, for sure by fourth or fifth grade, they don't trust. And I remember one little girl telling me, Vaudeville, I don't like my friends at school. She was, I think, in third grade. She says, I don't like my friends at school anymore. It's not Ani, don't worry. I said, why not? She said, because I told my friend a secret. That's why we don't trust people, right? She told the secret. Everybody on the schoolyard knew the secret. Of course, the secret's going to be embarrassing. And so she learned at that time, nope, not going to trust. Do you remember the time you actually consciously thought, no, I'm not going to trust anymore? So I'm not sure why it is, but it seems like life teaches us, our memories improve. And as we get older, it's hard to trust. And I'm not proud of this, but there was a time in my life where I actually adopted the cynical saying is my credo. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. We'll leave the shame thing to the side for just a moment. But there had been enough hurt, enough disappointment, enough betrayal, enough pain, surprises, that I was like, I'm done. I am only going to engage with people who are trustworthy. Have you ever felt, I'm not even going to ask for a show of hands, because I know you know what it's like to trust and to be burned. See, because our trust is based on predictability. Okay, we trust things, we know something's going to work. If we do it once, it works. We do it again, it works. If I tell you a secret and you don't tell, I can predict you're not going to say it again. But it's really hard to trust when you can't predict. Or it's hard to trust what you can't predict. See, and this is what makes it tricky with God. Right? This is what makes trusting God difficult, is that he's unpredictable. Again, you just saw how he took care of of the Israelites. And, you know, God tests our faith. There's no faith that is going to be untested. And remember, like, the last quote at the end of chapter, our reading in chapter 17:7, they tested the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Isn't that the core question that all of us have? Is the Lord really with me? Is he really with me? And we have enough experiences that makes us wonder, is God really with us? And it usually goes by this sort of sequence. We have a time of blessing or abundance, and frankly, in this country, this is where we live. We live with abundance. We live with blessing. Most of us have pretty much everything we need. And if we don't have it, we can usually ask someone. Someone can provide it for us, or it'll come in the next delivery. We live in an experience of blessing and abundance. And what that does is that creates an expectation. An expectation of what? It's just going to keep on going like this. It's going to be great. We have the hope that my abundance today will be here tomorrow. But I have it going downward because we're descending, because usually from a place of blessing to expectation comes what? Well, let's see if I can get it one at a time. Disappointment, right? Disappointment, because our hope, what we expected, it doesn't happen the way we expect it because it's unpredictable. And especially when we're dealing with God, is sure, he's got blessing for us. He even promises hope. But then we seem to descend into disappointment, and then most of us can't keep silent when we're disappointed. Even the most quiet and introverted among us, we usually will give expression to our disappointment. And it comes out in the form of grumbling, murmuring, really at the core, accusation against God. God, what are you doing? You've left me alone. So we're going to follow this pattern through these three tests that the children of Israel experienced. But I want to have a little fun with us today. So I want you to, every time this slide comes up, I want you to say it out loud. Okay, let's say it together. Didn't see that coming. One more time. Didn't see that coming. See, we say this, and we're going to practice it today, so that we get used to being God. We get used to God being what? Unpredictable. If you think you know what God's going to do this afternoon, get ready. You might just have a surprise waiting for you, because God is unpredictable. He's faithful. God is faithful, but he is not predictable. And the moment you think you've got him by the tail, you've got him, like, I know exactly what God's going to do. Get ready, because you're going to get surprised. So let's follow real quickly through the test that the Israelites had. First, they're in a point of blessing, right? What could be better for them? They were enslaved. They get taken out of Egypt. Not only do they leave their slavery behind, but don't forget, they plundered the Egyptians. So they may have been living, you know, reasonably comfortably, but when they left, they came out rich. They took clothes, they took precious metals, they took fabric, they plundered the Egyptians. And they marched out in battle, they get to the Red Sea, uh-oh, it's a little nerve-wracking, but we've got this massive pillar of a cloud. Okay, just think for a second, could you imagine God's guidance being more clear? I mean, wouldn't you just love it? Not, it doesn't even have to be a big cloud, maybe just like a little one, that would just go in front of you wherever you would go. I would absolutely love that. Just anytime someone questions me, like, just follow in the cloud. Just follow in the cloud. At nighttime, a fire? That would be fantastic. So they have this big cloud, so, you know, hundreds of thousands of them are marching out. They get to the Red Sea, led there by God. They get a little complaining, but then they walk through the sea on dry land. Okay, can it get any better than this? Actually, it can. It gets better. They go through, and the people that are chasing them, what happens? Utter destruction. Absolute destruction. There is no one left to threaten them. And in case there was, there's this big body of water that's now back in between. It's great. I mean, we left them last week singing and dancing, praising God. How great is God? And so their expectation is, this is going to be awesome. We're going to be going into the promised land. How amazing is God? I mean, they were probably singing, you know, our God is an awesome God, or our God is greater, or their Hebrew version of it, their horse and rider thrown into the sea. This is fantastic. Then comes the cloud moving into the desert. 3 days. 3 days, in our writing, three verses. Three verses. And what don't they have? They don't have water. Come on, what are we supposed to drink? What are we supposed to drink? I mean, they've got the animals with them, but what are we going to drink? There's no water. This is called the desert. The desert. This one's the desert of Shur. And they say, what are we going to drink? Moses cries out to the Lord. The Lord showed him a piece of wood. Actually, I think it's better translated, showed them a tree. He threw it into the water, and the water became fit to drink. Oh, come on. Didn't see that coming. Throw a tree into this water source, and now we can drink the water? Again, they were thirsty. Their disappointment had to be so heightened because it's like, oh, there's water. We can't drink this. Moses, it's your fault. I didn't see that coming. And I could get all allegorical that the tree is the cross. I don't think I'll go there. But they were shocked. And see, they complained because it's hard to trust what we can't predict. It's really hard. They had no idea that throwing in a tree to this body of water was going to make it drinkable. They had no idea. And I don't, you know, it's hard to blame them. But see, God sets this up because he's got something going on that's bigger than just meeting our expectations. It says, the Lord issued a ruling and an instruction for them to put them to the test. See, God's got this question, will you obey my law? But that's the ruling or instruction. Will you obey me even if you can't predict me? Will you obey me? Will you trust me even though I'm not predictable? And he makes this promise to them. If you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. I am your healer. Literally, it says he healed the water when they threw the tree in. I am your healer. That's a huge promise. So the question to them and to us is, will you trust me even though I'm unpredictable? Will you trust me even though I am unpredictable? Well, verse 27 says, they came to Elim, and there were 12 springs. So that's even now a second group. Now he's providing water in this oasis, 70 palm trees, and they camped near the water. So they waited. They camped, they had abundance again. And so we start with the blessing and the expectation that we didn't have any water. It's going to be great. Well, 45 days out from Egypt, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And the Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. See, there's no food, so they're disappointed. They're frustrated. Again, I'm not sure why they didn't start killing the animals, because they did have food, but I think that's probably wise on a journey that you don't get rid of all your resources, you know, just right into it. But now this is where the disappointment gets expressed as an accusation. They would rather die with full bellies than die hungry. Do you realize that's their complaint? You think about what they've seen. And what they're still seeing the cloud and the fire right in front of them. But now they're telling Moses, and he makes it clear, it's really God you're after. You brought us out here to kill us. You brought us out here to starve the entire assembly to death. Now, I'm not going to read it all because Jay just did, but and I appreciate how he read it, because when he quoted God saying, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, he didn't add what we frequently add, which is a little bit of an attitude. Just a little bit of an edge. Oh, yeah, you're complaining. Okay, so I will provide quail for you in the evening. You're going to see the glory of God. And then you get up in the morning, you're going to have plenty of bread to eat. So just shut your mouth and stop complaining. It's not what he says. He says in the evening, you're going to have quail. And in the morning, you're going to have something. You don't even know the name of it. You're going to have to rename it manna. God is incredible. He's so gracious. So in the desert, they get all the meat they can eat without killing any of their store. And they get plenty of bread. Didn't see that coming. Hadn't done that before. That's not what God did. He provided water by chucking a tree in this body of water. They get to live in an oasis for a little while. And then they come to this place. There's no food. But God does this. And they get it for 40 years. It wasn't designed to last 40 years. They weren't supposed to go 40 years. But the question comes out again. This is God's test. Again, no faith is going to remain untested. See that with me. No faith is going to remain untested. So God has one thing on his heart. It's not just to meet our needs, not just to meet our expectations, but God has a question. Will you obey my law? And this, he clarifies the Sabbath. I'm going to set up manna for you. You're going to have it every morning. And I know we think about those who went out and they gathered a little too much and they tried to save it and maggots, but not everybody had maggots. A number of them really did obey. And then on Sabbath morning, they went out. There was no, some stayed home because they really did believe, they really did obey. And so the question is, will we trust God? Will we obey God? Will we do it? Especially because we can't predict him. So, again, I want to just say it's hard to trust what you can't predict. It's very hard to trust God because he's unpredictable. It isn't easy. So they do the Sabbath thing, God provides for them, and they are once again in a place of abundance, in the place of blessing, and they're back to high hopes again. We're moving, we got the cloud. They set out from the desert, and now it says sin. Please don't think of that as trespasses. That's just short for Sinai. It's the desert of Sin or Sin or Zin. Before the Sinai, they camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Here we go again. Disappointment. No water. Been here. If they're anything like me, what are they looking for? They're looking for trees. Right? Because that's what God did last time. There's trees, but there's no trees this time. They're in the desert. It's barren. You know, I don't know, maybe there's tumbleweeds and they're looking like, I don't think the tumbleweed's going to work. Last time we had to throw in a tree. Maybe if we get a bunch of tumbleweeds, maybe that'll, probably not. So they come to Moses. Again, it's not just disappointment. Now they're expressing the disappointment. They quarreled, new word, not just grumbling anymore. They're ratcheting it up a little bit. They quarrel with Moses and say, give us water to drink. Moses, why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test? But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. Now he's got quarreling and grumbling going on. They said, why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst? Moses cried out to the Lord, what am I to do with these people? See, Moses definitely has an attitude. They are almost ready to stone me. The Lord answered Moses, go out in front of the people, take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink. So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel. Didn't see that coming. Hits the rock, water comes out. What kind of God do we have? What kind of God do we have that when they're first complaining about water, there's already a tree in place? Years before God planted that tree, so it was ready. Now, again, God could have instantly done it, but God thinks about his people. He's prepared for us. Even though we would never expect it, God's got everything under control. The rock is there. Now, you could say, at that moment, God created an underground spring to show up right at that moment. Maybe. But my impression is that Moses hits the rock, and an underground stream that's there in place comes gushing out. God's never caught by surprise. He is never caught by surprise. See, we may not see it coming, but he does. And Moses called the place Massah and Meribah. Because the Israelites quarreled. They're testing God, they're quarreling with God, and they're asking the question, is the Lord among us or not? See, it's hard to trust what you can't predict. But God sends us through test after test after test to reveal us so that we might actually begin to trust him. See, what's hard is that we don't get to test him. You might say, hey, what is this? He's testing me all the time. Don't I get a little, come on, why can't I test? I think I told you about the time my mom asked me, you know, how dare you? Who are you? Who do you think you are to talk to me like this? I'm 16. Who do you think you are to talk to me like this? That didn't end well. Not at all. We don't get to come to God and say, who do you think you are to put me to the test? See, God is testing us not because he's angry at us. God knows how we will respond, but in hope against hope, he gives us the opportunity to trust what we can't predict, because we don't know how God is going to do something, but we do know he is going to be faithful. He may be unpredictable, but he's trustworthy. So it is hard to trust what we can't predict, but we can always trust the Lord's unpredictable presence. We really can, because he always comes through. We're going to say together, didn't see that coming. But here's the question, are you going to hang in long enough? Are you going to trust him long enough so you get to, with laughter, say, didn't see that coming, God. Didn't see that coming. You are so good. You are so gracious. You are so patient. Say it with me. Didn't see that coming. Don't you want to say that to him? Don't you want to stay trusting long enough so you can experience his faithful provision, his unpredictable presence? We really can trust his unpredictable presence. Amen.